You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Well, the New York Post, Molly Walker, reporting that according to Chris Drury, Chris Trouba is out. Jacob Trouba, is out a couple of weeks with a lower body injury.
Ugh.
That's not good.
I'm trying to think of when that happened. They haven't played since Monday. Anthony, you remember anything? I don't remember anything happening in the game on Monday.
No, it was kind of shocking to hear that he had anything going on. You just figured he was banged up, but not missing two practices. You kind of thought that there was something that could be happening.
Zach Jones and maybe Chad Ruedel makes his debut. And we were just talking, he will not be wearing his number that he wore in Pittsburgh.
Why not?
Because it's Brian Leach's number.
Oh, he can't do that. It's up in the rafters.
All right, can't do that.
See if you follow me here.
I'm folly.
If you're married and you download, the Tinder app, it's not a good sign for the marriage.
I wouldn't think so.
So what the Giants did today was essentially download the Tinder app on Daniel Jones. And they did more than download. They actually were swiping. So meeting with Russell Wilson, to me, is the death knell to Daniel Jones.
No, they swipe. What is it? Swipe right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never done that.
It's swipe right, but it may be worse than Tinder. It's more like downloading, J-Date or Christian Mingle. They're looking for a new partner, not just a one-night stand.
Yeah.
Beautifully said. I knew you'd clean that up.
Point guard, perhaps?
For comedy purposes, the only place to go would be Farmers Only.
That's right.
Well, I mean, this tells you that Rich Eisen's previous report that when he was in Indy, the Giants are done with Daniel Jones, buyer's remorse, and they don't look at him as their future. And they don't. I don't even think they want him to play this year. I mean, that's been the plan. But one thing that we've always overlooked at is if he gets hurt, then they're on the hook for more money in years 3 and 4. Right now, if they could get him out of there, even if they could trade him and have to pick up most of his salary, they are not responsible for, if he gets hurt, any money after that. So if they run him out there, this is a guy who has a history of injuries, A, and B, has a history of neck injuries, and you do get hit a lot in football, right. And he does run a lot, so he's going to get hit. Also coming back from a really bad knee injury, I don't think their future is Daniel Jones at all. I think that this is the perfect guy to get. Perfect in the sense that the Broncos are picking up his whole salary except for the league minimum, which would be for him $1.2 million.
Right.
So even if you have to pay Daniel Jones $40 million, which you do have to pay, if you get Russell Wilson and he starts, you haven't upset the apple cart. You're actually below the average of what a good starting quarterback makes now anyway. If you go out and you get Kirk Cousins, as Don said earlier, say he gets $40 million, all of a sudden you're in for $80 million at the quarterback position. This is the perfect guy to get because even if you draft a quarterback, Russell Wilson is there to win games this year so that Dable doesn't lose his job with a 3-14 season, and the young kid is sitting there watching a veteran quarterback who I think has been to 9 Pro Bowls.
Now, follow my logic here, Michael. This could actually help you retain Saquon Barkley at the money that you want because I think part of the problem with Saquon is you don't want to pay him big money, but there might be a team that offers him the same. Let's say Philadelphia offers him the same money. You're like, he's probably going to choose Philly, right? Better quarterback, better team. Where are the Giants going if they're going to be starting a rookie quarterback or starting Daniel Jones with the possibility of getting hurt and maybe even no long-term future beyond that? Maybe if the money's similar, the Giants are more attracted to stay because you might have a legit quarterback that can actually play better. And then they have the young quarterback that they still could draft, they can mold, and be ready to start in 2025. So it costs you almost nothing.
Well, the only way that it becomes a little cost prohibitive, Don, is if they use that sixth pick on the quarterback, because a sixth pick is going to make a decent amount of money.
I don't think that – I think this is a – I guess it really depends on who goes in the first five.
Right.
I think the ideal thing would be to sign Russell Wilson, trade back into the first round, get a weapon for Russell Wilson at six, get one of the wide receivers, and then hope that one of those quarterbacks drop down late enough in the first round you could trade for him. It sounds like McCarthy's going to go, but could Nix and Penix be there at 20, 25? Like, we were eyeballing it, Peter, when Michael was out the other day of, or maybe I did it with Dan.
When was I out? Oh, Peter and I had that thing.
That's right. And that you look at, could you maybe trade 2 second-round picks to Green Bay for 25? Green Bay's probably not going to draft a quarterback. They've got Love. It's a little bit of an overpay. But now the talk seems to be at 25, all the quarterbacks might be gone. So,
well, we're looking at it from the Giant prism, which I don't see a scenario where the Giants wouldn't want this guy. And I think that talking to him was smart. But let's look at it from Russell Wilson's perspective. Why the Giants? It's probably a one-year deal. 1 year, if you put up a big number, then you can almost Baker Mayfield it at a higher age and get more money later on from someone else. But if you go to the Raiders and you go to the Steelers, you could be their quarterback for 3 or 4 years. I know he's 35 years old. So, I mean, in terms of his future, like if he wants to play a long time, the Giants probably not the way to go.
You think he's getting signed to a 3 or 4 year deal, or you're just saying
if he comes off a real good – I'm not – even if he's just – everybody wants to take advantage of the Broncos paying this money. So right. if he has an agreement that, you know, he's signing an extension, or even if he doesn't have an agreement, he knows he could be in Pittsburgh for 3 or 4 years. I mean, I don't think they're sweating to get Kenny Pickett back out there. And with the Raiders, they really don't. I mean, do they love any of their young quarterbacks after they got rid of Garoppolo? So you could have a nice run there if you put a good season together. With the Giants, I don't think they look at Russell Wilson as a long-term answer. They look at him as a bridge quarterback to get their young quarterback ready.
I think everyone's looking at him as that. I don't think there's one.
The Steelers are.
I mean, do the Steelers think they're that close?
Well, like we just throw it with him than they are with Kenny Pickett.
Right. But are they talent wise that much closer than the Giants? A little bit. They're not. That's not a great football team. I mean, they're always well coached and they always put up a decent season. But Don, I don't think the Steelers are close with a veteran quarterback.
Well, no, I don't think any of these teams are close.
Well, you think the Raiders are closer than the Giants? If they put Russell Wilson in.
Yeah, I think listen, if Russell Wilson wants to play in the playoffs, Pittsburgh's the place to go rather than the Raiders.
Just on the metal of the team.
Well, because they seem to be locked for 9
wins.
You know, Russell Wilson get them from 9 to 10 and now a wild card team. They almost made the wild card team last year, basically no quarterback.
Wait, Michael, but to your point, that division, you're signing up to play against the now tough Cleveland team, Cincinnati, who's always there, and Baltimore, who's literally just dominating.
Okay. Well, the same thing with the Raiders. I mean, what are you signing up for?
Right, you're going to have an improved Charger team with a legitimate coach. You've got the defending Super Bowl champions in there. And you got Sean Payton to have to deal with in Denver. And then the Giants have the Eagles and the Cowboys to deal with. So they're all kind of the same. But Pittsburgh, to me, is a team that you could pencil in for 9 wins every year. And you get legitimate quarterback play. Maybe it's 10 getting to the playoffs. I don't think anybody's going to offer him more than a 1-year deal. And if he makes the team, then he becomes a free agent. And maybe he can parlay it into a big contract. He's only going to be 36 in November. So he still, I guess, from a quarterback standpoint, still has, you would think, have a couple of years left. But, Michael, why would you even toy with the possibility of more than 1 year?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying for his future with a specific team, I think he's one and done with the Giants. With those other teams, if he has good years, I think they could keep him. I don't think the Giants would keep him after this year. That's my point.
No, but Russell Wilson might be in a situation where, hey, I don't want to stay in Pittsburgh long term. I want to hopefully have a great year, and I might pick it. Of teams to go to, show everybody that the last two years he's just got to go.
Then he should go where he thinks he could have his best year. And would you say that's the Giants if they don't bring back Saquon Barkley?
I'd have to look at it. I mean, I think that if they drafted a stud wide receiver, I really don't know where his head's at right now. It might just be give me a chance to play and let me prove myself here. Now I don't know. Does his wife have a say? I mean, I would think they'd talk about it, but if it's only 1 year, would it matter if he wherever he is? But is Vegas more attractive because of his wife? Is New York more attractive because of his wife?
And also, is New York more appealing, guys? Because we know one thing about Russell Wilson: he's a little bit delusional about his brand. I think he thinks he's a bit cooler than he is. Isn't there a world in which he, in Russell Wilson's brain, he's like, hey, yo, I could go to New York and be the man that I'm supposed to be? I mean, I don't know that he realizes he's seen as a complete toolbox.
Now, of all the three coaches, I'm sure there are other teams that we're not even discussing, but you've got Tomlin, Pierce, and Dable. Who's the least likely to put up with his nonsense? Probably Tomlin.
I think Tomlin's the one who'd be the best for him.
Right, he probably went out playing that here.
But
you know what? Maybe the other two guys would be like that too. Dable seems like to be hard nosed, and Antonio Pierce is a player's coach. I don't think he'd put up with it either.
But I think with him, it's not so much a matter of putting up with it, because he's a veteran and he's got his money. You kind of have to, quote unquote, put up with him a bit. I mean, because we know he's annoying and he's not at the top of his game, he's not 26. You're not changing him.
Now,
I think it's a matter of who has the best touch to do it. And I would say of the names you just mentioned, based on what we saw about how Daniel Jones was handled last year and what we've seen from Antonio Pierce, I certainly don't think soft touch is how people describe him. I think Tomlin's the guy who could manage him the best.
Now, I do think ego is a major problem with him. Awkwardness is another problem with him. I think both of those things would be on their best behavior going into the situation that he's in this year. We're talking about maybe nozzly behavior. He's not a bad guy. So it's just a case of that he seems to have a little bit of a high opinion of himself, wanting his own office in Denver. Seems to kind of be a little bit of a phony, I guess. That's why the team didn't really seem to love him in Seattle. But I would think all that's off the table when you're basically auditioning to extend your career, that you're just going to follow the company line, go out there and play. And if you look at the numbers, 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and if I can get those stats on a minimum wage in the NFL, that I have to take a chance on that.
It does make you think a little bit, though. I'm all for the Giants getting them. All for it. Pete Carroll was done with him. Hackett was done with him. Peyton was done with him. That's three coaches in 3 years that were just done with him. Done with him. And when you look at the ramifications of being done with him, the Broncos would rather have an $85 million cap hit than keep a guy who had 26 touchdowns last year.
Well, but think about the situation, all right? In Seattle, he'd won a Super Bowl, goes to a Super Bowl the next year. But they're done with him. They got everything they could out of him. They realize he's on the back nine. Let's move on and look at the deal they were able to get for him. It was the right thing for Seattle to do. Denver's thinking, we finally have the quarterback we haven't been able to have in the last decade. But he's making demands. He's just a part of a blockbuster deal. Again, a little full of himself, thinking he's worth more than he actually is. And Peyton probably looked at it and says, we can't do anything with this guy. I've just had to strip him of a lot of his power coming here. It's a mess in the room. All right, let's get out of this. But the other teams, again, you're getting him at no money. And then the second if he becomes any kind of a nozzle, then you just let him go.
Well, that's the beauty.
Right. So but if you're Russell Wilson, Peter, and again, I don't think he's a bad guy. Aren't you humbled by what's happened over the last couple of years? Aren't you going to now just play ball, if at least just for 1 year, so that you can parlay into extending your career? Or are you going to be a problem and then get cut again and then be done? And that, and at 35 years old, 36 on November 29th, whatever it is, you're out of football. Because that's the next step, right? If it doesn't work out in these situations on minimum salary, then he's done. It's over.
1-800-919-3776. Fun to think about. Yeah, I might even put up my own money, Peter, to have a weekly with Russell Wilson. And whatever it costs, I say, just take it out of my salary.
Oh, that could be good.
And do that.
You know what I just noticed is unfortunate, Don? I noticed that the bottom left, well, if you're looking on our right, if you're looking at the TV, I didn't realize that Michael has a picture of Rapug Don so prominently displayed.
Where?
Yeah. Right there, to your left, Michael, and down.
We need
that's a picture with Eli. Oh, my God, that is the most Rapug Don of all time.
Again, yeah, that's not what you want, Don.
He looks like Jackie Gleason.
Can we get a shot of that?
Yeah, I'm holding it right now.
I remember that time. That was after the first Super Bowl, Peter, that Eli won.
I don't think you've ever looked worse.
And it was at the February, maybe early March, depending on when we had the dinner. 08.
But Don, I mean, there was no neck. You went right from your ears to your shoulders. I mean, it's hideous.
I got. I again, we're behind.
It'll be there
and
now.
Yet, and yet
it'll be there in a second.
It's there now.
Yeah, I'm an absolute slob. And you would think that somebody would just take me aside. If for no other reason, Peter's just like, listen, you'll make the show look bad being just a disgusting pig. And I'm also worried about your health. Not a word, Peter. Not a word from any other people in that picture.
To give credit, I never told you this, Don. Eli used to tell me, I'm worried about this guy.
Yeah.
He's obese.
And that could have been your icebreaker with me. Like, listen, it's not me talking. It's Eli Manning talking.
Right.
Now the reason I can look back in disgust is that I feel that I've turned it around.
Oh, you really have.
You're a different person.
Listen, I'm still a mess, but the thing is that I've turned it around, and in my mid-50s, that's usually when it's really difficult to turn it around.
Yeah, it's usually when you go down. Instead, you turned it around.
I had just turned 40 in that picture, Peter. It's easier to turn around at 40. At 56, I've been able to turn it around with the kickboxing, and I've lost weight, and I've tightened it up. So
what a mess you were. I mean, even your hair looked terrible.
No,
But there's something. I'm now. You know me. I'm on DirecTV. I saw it tomorrow. But I just got a look at the picture.
It's awful. Don was so proud that he looked like that too.
First of all, the reason Michael's such a bad guy and why I think he kept this a secret is I'm looking at this picture, for example. Michael looks terrific. Maybe the best he's ever looked. He looks like, the show Sports Night would have been about him. Like, that is a sports broadcaster. Slim, nice cut, everything is put together.
Tan.
And you look like his yo-yo podunk Market 930 co-host who was just plucked out of Des Moines and shoved on the radio. I'd also like
his bodyguard.
Let me ask you a question though, Don. This is a very
like Bobby
fair
Bacala.
When you look at this, right? I mean, when you looked in the mirror, did you see? I don't have a chin. It goes right from that to my chest. Didn't you see you were fat?
No, you don't see yourself. That's why you need friends. And I believe that, Peter, if I had known you for 7-8 years, I believe you would have taken me aside. If for no other reason but to say, Don, we want you to be around a little bit longer. This is not good for you. This is unhealthy. But just from the standpoint of just repugnant, I don't even know why you guys even agreed to take a picture with me.
I mean, it was.
I wouldn't have understood it then. But if we went back in time and somebody had said, Don, step out of the picture. We're trying to promote this show. I would say that's a good decision. A fat, disgusting slob. And not one person on the show, Joey Salvia, who I consider a close friend, Ryan Hurley, who I love, not one of them said a word, Peter. Not a word. And you notice every single one of them look fantastic in that picture.
By the way,
even Hurley, who struggled with his weight at times, looks gorgeous in that picture.
And for the record, yes, a couple minutes ago, because of course I'm just seeing it now, they pulled up a picture that just says heavier Don. And it has a picture of Don. And don't get me wrong, it's Repug era Don, but the picture they pulled's got nothing.
I agree.
On the photo.
I saw that picture and I said, wow, he looks good there compared to that. I mean, he's an abomination.
I've been told that picture of heavier Don, they are now working on it. We are soon going to see heaviest Don,
which
is going to be, it's going to be the photo, the Repug photo. I also think, Don, we should lean into it and make like a bobblehead of Repug Don.
No, there's not enough plastic.
It's not even about his fatness.
The picture they're showing now, I mean, God forgive me, he's Tony Siragusa.
I'm an absolute slob. You know what that picture looks like, and that picture was actually taken from a documentary that I was in about thrashing.
What about heavy
sportscasters? Disgusting slob. Right. Listen, it's one for me to say. All right, but look at that picture. Are you looking at the picture, Peter?
Yeah,
you're a little behind.
I'll see it next week.
That picture. If that was Don now, that's a full beard. But because I'm a fat, repugnant pig, it came across as a goatee. My face stretched it out.
Wait.
Stretched my face out that would have been a full beard, but then it just covered my chin under my nose because I was so repugnant.
One of the best parts of this segment was I'm watching the TV here, and At one point, Michael just picked up the picture. He wasn't, you couldn't even hear him. He just picked up the picture, and I just saw him just laughing, just looking at him laughing.
No, it's, yeah. There's another picture with the ESPN dance team. Just
the, they were repulsed by you. You used to tell me that.
Well, and listen, I think that they're disgusted.
We had a dance
team?
They
took a picture with me.
We had a dance team. This station used to have it going on.
Wow. Yeah,
but now things have changed. Ah!
I wanna see all of the Repug Dons, like the four different Repug
Dons. I want to see them because you know what makes me proud that I've been able to turn it around. I still have work to do, but right now I'm a different person. And that's also pre-play-by-play. I think the play-by-play turned me around. The kids have turned me around.
The kids did it, I think.
You know what I was able to do yesterday? I was so proud of myself. Picked them both up, carried them up the stairs same time.
Wow.
If 40-year-old Don did that, there'd be no 41-year-old Don.
Yeah, good point.
But not one. Peter, not one person. And there's a people that I'm very close to. Where's my family?
How do you tell somebody they look like that?
Where's my brother?
Where's your wife? Where's your mom? Nobody said it, Don. You're a mess.
No, my mom would say, you know, Don, what's going on with that belly? Come on.
See, and you don't listen.
But it's different.
And you know what else was tough about the?
Victory, Ronnie James Dio. I'm surprised Ronnie James Dio wanted to maintain a relationship with me.
But you know what? I see in these pictures of Heavy Don, you're really joyous. You're so happy.
Well, fat people are jolly, as Garfield used to say.
The reason I was happy is because I was like pounding Taco Bell. I was smoking cigars to and from work every day. Really, you know what I did? I followed the light, Michael. I was done. I was committing suicide to myself in the most glorious way possible with cigars and food and staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning, eating food right until I went to bed.
But you know what I think really is the
happy,
we keep focusing on him being out of shape, and that people's shape comes and goes. It's a struggle for everyone. The underrated part of what made him look just so absolutely revolting. is the color of the mustache and beard.
Oh, yeah. I know. He couldn't decide, gray or black.
He couldn't decide, and now that he's in this, you know, Silver Fox era of Don, it's all working. But back then, he had the early gray, but the black beard. I mean, Don looked like, as my uncle used to refer to them, a dog meat wrestler. A jobber, like a guy who you would turn on wrestling on a Saturday, and you'd see that, you know, Chief J Strongbow has a match with some no-name, and it looks like some schlubby trucker. That was Don. Your wrestling gimmick could have been the schlubby trucker.
Schlubby trucker. All right, we'll talk more about the schlubby trucker and take more phone calls as well. I don't know why Peter decided to just pile on you like that, Don. I'm sorry.
Don's not offended because it's all about how wonderful he looks now. Look at him.
I'm taking this all as a compliment, but also realizing that we're close, but not as close as we really could be.
I'm glad
should have taken me aside. And the reason you can't come up with a comp is because nobody famous would ever look that way.
Wait, I mean, you think like Adam Sandler and David Spade ever said anything to Chris Farley?
No, it was close, different, though. But Farley, it's different. A fat guy was his gimmick. He didn't look bad. He was just heavy. Don, that wasn't his gimmick.
Did you ever see the picture?
No, it was his gimmick. He loved that gimmick. Taco Bell was his favorite.
But I knew how heinous I was, but I just didn't want to give up all the things that made me look that way. Because it was a glorious ride to that.
Spring training isn't just for baseball players. It's time for you to get into shape, Don, and ready for the warmer weather. For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, Don. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help you keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water, and you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number, locations close by or available from home with live online consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET, 855-5NJ-DIET, or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get ready for spring with njdiet.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing that I don't get, just to finish off the conversation about Don. Before I got the Yes gig, the year before Yes started, so we the first year of Yes was 2002. If you ever saw me in 2000, I was enormous. And you know what made me change? There's a mirror in my house.
Okay.
And the way your clothes fit. You just can't, or I get a physical every year and a doctor would say, you want to die of a heart attack? No. Well, you better lose weight. No one told you. You didn't think, gee, I don't know why my buttons don't connect on my collar.
Well because I was buying big. and now it's, you know how things become clearer over time, Peter? I got a physical around Repug Don time. Right. And I came in and I glowing. Yeah, you know, the doctor said I was overweight, but my cholesterol was like 111. And I told Michael about my cholesterol being perfect, and he was mad at me. The rest of the mad. Because now I realize why he was so mad. Like, how can a guy that looked like that have perfect cholesterol?
Right. And I don't.
But I was healthy. I'd go to the doctor. Yeah, you got to lose a few pounds, but you know your blood pressure is good, your cholesterol is good, and then I'd celebrate it by smoking a cigar and getting like 3 burritos at Taco Bell. And then I realized that now you're getting older, and you got kids and more of a presence on television, and you want to feel better because I was having a good time, Michael, but I wasn't feeling great. Knees.
I'm just glad it's turned out well.
But no help from you or anybody else.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? Let's go to John in New Jersey. John.
Hey guys, how you doing today? Two things. One, love your back and forth. You guys make me laugh every day. Love
Thanks.
The show. It's
Thank
one of the
you.
Greatest parts of my afternoon every day. I wanted to comment on the Russell Wilson situation. I grew up in Denver. Family's been season ticket holders since '62. That whole situation was set up to fail from the beginning.
How so?
He was suspect coming out of Seattle off the injury. Why they gave him as much money as they did, I still don't understand.
And they gave him 3 first round draft picks.
Well, I know. And then the amount of salary that they're going to take a hit on this year. They hired Nathaniel Hackett to coach him. The whole purpose for bringing in Hackett was to get Rodgers, not Wilson. Not only that, just like the Jets and the Giants, if Denver and the Jets and the Giants continue to trot out lawn decorations to set out in front of their quarterback, doesn't matter who's back there, they won't be successful.
Well, good point. But from your people that live in Denver, what was the disconnect between Peyton and and Wilson?
I think attitude. Sean Payton is a take charge kind of guy, and Russell Wilson just had too many. I mean, he had an entourage with him. Like, why do you need an entourage? Like, focus on the game. Like, set your personal life aside and focus on the team. He's just, he's got too much commotion going around him all the time. And Payton tried to reel that in, and it just, they butted heads all season. I don't agree giving up the salary hit. It's huge. I think it's dumb. But, because what are we going to do now? We can't go out and pay another quarterback. And well, Stidham's not the answer.
See, but that's the scary thing, John, about anybody signing Russell Wilson, even for the league minimum and even for 1 year, is that there were, Denver was willing to do this to get rid of him. So, because you're right, they couldn't find a way to make it work, do anything. They're willing to take this kind of an amazing cap hit to just get rid of him without even a plan B. I mean, what's the plan B, guys?
Yeah, even if they draft somebody in the first round, they got. I mean, they're going to be so much money sunk into that position. $85 million cap hit. It's the biggest cap hit in NFL history. I mean, you couldn't hold your nose because he did throw 26 touchdowns.
Well, that's what I've been trying to understand the whole time. Is it that they know he's just really limited and he can only get them so far?
No, he's Mr. Unlimited. Unlimited.
Exactly. Or exactly.
Mr.
Or,
Unlimited.
Or is it that he's so unbearable that they would rather roll the dice even though he gave them a pretty productive season? I mean,
this is almost like being with a hot girlfriend that is just so annoying that you'd rather dump her
and be alone.
And be alone for like 3 years than to make it work.
I've lived that. Let's go to Josh in Plainsboro. Josh?
Sure.
How you doing? Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Perfectly.
Excellent. Had a great week this week. Started a new job. Feeling good.
Congrats.
I'm feeling so good, though, about the Steelers' opinions you guys have.
Not me. I don't hate them as much as these guys.
I don't understand what it is with these guys. I mean, they think that the Giants would be pretty much just as good as the Steelers if the Steelers had Russell Wilson. I mean,
what did I say that? Pittsburgh would be the destination. Didn't we say really, that, Peter?
He said it would barely be a difference if he went to the Steelers.
Do I think they'd be better than the Giants? Yes. Do I think the Steelers are a quarterback away from competing for a championship? No, I don't.
No, but to your point, Josh, you can pen them in.
I mean,
in permanent marker, 9 wins every year.
Yeah,
so if I add Russell Wilson throwing 26 touchdown passes, that's 10-11
wins. And that's without a quarterback.
Right.
You could pen them in for 9 wins without a quarterback. The Giants have had Daniel Jones, and the best that they did was 9-7-1 in his best season.
That's and the Steelers, Steelers made the playoffs with tiny hands.
Yeah, that's why.
Exactly. With a quarterback that sucks, they made the playoffs.
Is tiny hands that much worse than where Russell Wilson is now? I mean, he's worse.
I think he is.
Yes.
But Russell Wilson, it's not adding Justin Herbert to your team.
Well, Pickett got hurt, too.
It's not. I'm not saying that Russell Wilson is perfect and he's all the answers. What I'm saying is that the Steelers roster is way better than the Giants roster.
Way better. I agree.
It's definitely.
If Russell Wilson wants to win, that's a team that he can win with. He has to be committed.
Real quick, he has to drop his nonsense. With Russell Wilson, tell me this. What place are you coming in the AFC North next year?
With Russell Wilson? Probably second because of the Ravens. The Ravens are really good. I'm not going to deny that.
My Cincinnati, you're a healthy confident. Burrow.
Burrow's back and but you're even, jumping but, the Bengals.
But I'm with Jai. I don't have confidence in Burrow's wild card team, I think.
Yeah, I don't have confidence in Burrow's health. I don't have confidence in the Bengals in general. I mean, T. Higgins is on a franchise tag. He's probably not happy about that. I mean, it's not a perfect team, the Bengals.
Josh, I got to know, as a diehard Steeler fan, are you one of these Steeler fans that hate their head coach?
No, I love Mike Tomlin. Right, I think he's a great coach. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
I tell you what, I like Josh a lot.
And Danny from Long Island, Josh, does not like Tomlin.
I don't know why people don't like him, man. I mean, I get he doesn't make the perfect decision every time. No coach does. But he's been consistent. You know, he's gotten the locker room under control in hard times. He hid all the Antonio Brown stuff that went on for years. You know, he's a really good coach, and I wouldn't trade him for any other coach in the NFL.
See,
good luck on your new job, bud.
He just needs to listen better because I didn't say the things.
No, I mean, I think because you and Peter are so inextricably connected that one says something.
We are very close.
You never ever disagree. The only thing you agree about is that you don't like me. So when one says something, it's like both of you said it.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it. That's it. That's what
you think. So you think that our plan, conscious or subconsciously, we are trying to sabotage you?
No, I don't think it's a plan. I think you guys, you both have a visceral dislike for me. I don't think I believe that that's something that you guys have in common. And so you seem to be in lockstep with each other about everything. So when one guy says something, they just assume it came out of the other guy's mouth.
You don't think it's possible we just happen to agree. You think it's because we disagree with you. I agree with you a lot and not with him.
Not much.
Oh, my God. The insecurity, Peter, is
it's sad, too.
I'm nauseated.
Especially considering he'd openly choose Rick over both of us in a heartbeat. Yet he cries about our friendship.
Choose him not to work with, but to hang out with, yeah.
No, to live.
How much, I know Ledecky's probably the main reason, but how much of you committing to the Islanders,
zero,
planting your flag on Long
Island,
has to do with Rick?
Absolutely zero. Absolutely zero. I've always known Rick, but it's Ledecky that's pushed me over the finish line. And Bieberman, too. Good guy. You're familiar with Bieberman, right?
Oh, I love
shows
the
us around all the time, Jay.
Jay. I didn't remember his last name. I'm sorry.
Bieberman. It's a great hard name to forget.
Love the Bieberman.
Let's go to Tony in Delaware. Tony.
Hey, Michael K is on the radio today. That might be why you have the visceral hate by your two co-hosts.
You think that's it?
Song.
Yeah.
They want their names in that song.
Yeah, man.
You know what? That doesn't seem like it really bothers them at all.
Okay. Well, I was wrong.
No, you were right. Quick. I was being facetious.
Okay. Well, change it up, you know. I mean, come up with
a
name.
No. He can't. He doesn't have the power.
I don't have the power to change the name of the show.
He can't change that song. It's too much.
I didn't change the show. I didn't make
the name Peter,
the show.
This one's for you.
All right.
I listened to your show in the morning real quick.
Okay.
And I did not hear when, and I listened specifically before you even talked about it on the show. I listened specifically to hear if there was going to be any voice change. And when I was listening, I didn't hear one voice change. Okay, I was like, okay, yeah, he's on a hip hop show. Okay, he's going to sound a little different. You sounded the same to me, and I was okay. He's solid. So maybe another show you sounded different, but when I heard it, you sounded exactly the same.
Well, listen, every conversation's different, right? I mean, like, if you catch me on a morning show and we're talking about serious stuff, I may sound the exact same. Maybe if we start joking, the way we joke is different and my tone changes. I don't know. What I've come to, though, is I just don't care.
I love that about you. Don, how about this decision by the Dodgers? This is a team that's perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dave Roberts, their manager, just announced that their starting shortstop is Mookie Betts.
Really?
I mean, have you ever seen a player who's a gold glove outfielder willingly do this? He moved to second base last year. He had 12 starts at shortstop last year. Before that, Don, he had not played shortstop since 2012 in rookie ball. I mean, you don't get superstars like this.
That
Can you imagine
pretty...
if the Yankees asked Juan Soto to go play third base?
That wouldn't happen. I respect that, though.
So do I.
Like, if he thinks it's good for the team and he's willing to do it, and I guess they get all analytically driven, they probably have some kind of analytic that says it'll work. You know, obviously he's got the arm for it. But that's odd. You know, Derek Jeter wouldn't go to third.
No.
Mookie
and Alex Rodriguez went to third because he was desperate to become a Yankee.
Yeah.
But Mookie Betts has his money already. He could tell them, go grab in a hat.
But I like the fact he didn't.
So do I.
That's actually pretty cool.
According to Molly Walker of the Post, Chris Drury, the Ranger GM, said he would have been fine with dealing the first-round pick this year if it made sense.
Okay. So is that to counter the rumor about Dolan?
Maybe.
Or that he just didn't want Vetrano and Henrique that bad?
Well, I mean,
or that the rumor's not true?
We threw this rumor that's out there that Dolan, who owns the Sphere in Vegas, which I can't wait to experience, and that's where the NHL draft is, the upcoming NHL draft, that he doesn't want the Rangers not to be in the first round because it is in his sphere.
Which is silly.
But let's say that that was the case, Don, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course Chris Drury's going to deny it. You can't say it.
No.
And even if he's somebody asked him, would you be willing to trade your first? And he said, of course. Even if he wasn't willing to, of course he has to say he would.
But that's a little bit different than trying to deny the rumor about the sphere. What it tells you is that they're not – I defended him by saying they don't want to give up, you know, the picks. But
their pick is going to be practically a second rounder. It's going to be so late in the first.
Or, you know, or it could be used for something during the offseason or the day of the draft. Like, the point is that he wants to let it be known, hey, I'm looking to improve this team in any way, shape, or form, and there was nothing that was on the table that I was willing to do it for. So what he's saying is not that he wasn't allowed to trade.
Well, he could never say that even if he wasn't allowed.
Or defiant against giving up the pick, what he's saying is that Vetrano and Henrique was not worth a first-round pick. Or, you know, Buchnevich, apparently. There were rumors about that. Not worth a first-round pick. And I'm cool with that.
And the great Larry Brooks. I mean, he, you know, if Don's the godfather, Larry Brooks is right alongside him for me with hockey.
He's a
Hall of Fame. He debunked it. He said it's not true.
That rumor with the Ducks?
Yeah. No. The sphere thing.
Oh, the sphere, yeah. And Larry, listen, you could say great. You could say whatever. He's a Hall of Famer. I think that's the way you should describe him moving forward.
Okay, I will do that.
No, I'm not being that guy. I'm just saying that, you know, when you're in the Hall of Fame, you don't have to say the great.
So in his column on February 8th, he said, by the way, the Rangers first rounder is in play. There's been no edict delivered from Chairman Jim Dolan to Drury not to trade the pick because the draft is going to be held at the Sphere, and Dolan wants his team to be up on stage to make a splash at his world-renowned entertainment facility. The concept is ludicrous. More to the point, it has zero validity.
Well, there you go. That's all
good enough
I need
for me, the legend. One quick thing. I know we're up against the break. If baseball was smart, they would allow their draft picks to be traded. The fact that they don't makes no sense.
What is their defense?
Because I think they don't want bad teams to give away their number one pick because they don't want to pay, you know, they don't want to pay the big money. Like Paul Skenes, the first pick by the Pirates, got $10 million. So I mean, but I look at it this way: if the Pirates would traded that pick to the Yankees, well, the Yankees then could have gotten Paul Skenes, and they would have given up Spencer Jones and whomever to get that pick, and that would make the Pirates better. And this way, the Yankees already paid Spencer Jones, their former first-round draft pick, and now they're willing to pay. This is a way for bad teams to get better quicker. You could get players that are closer to contributing in the big leagues right away because they've been in the minors a couple of years. I don't understand why baseball doesn't do it. It's dumb. And it would create drama. Imagine the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Mets selecting the first pick in the draft and getting the best player. I don't get it. Nobody's ever given me a great reason for it. Don, please, please. No, it's not even you, Don.
No.
I'm all fuss-chatted about this. It's Peter.
Right.
Tell me about a car.
I will. It's Peter for Security Dodge, Long Island Ram and Wrangler headquarters. Come get some. Right now, you can get a 2023 Jeep Gladiator for up to 30% off MSRP. That's right, up to 30% off MSRP. Don't forget about their 7-year, 100,000-mile certified pre-owned warranty on all certified pre-owns, all during the Jeep Celebration event. Shop 24/7 at SecurityDodge.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Bang! Bang! The Point God.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
If you're married and you download the Tinder app, it's not a good sign for the marriage.
I wouldn't think so.
So what the Giants did today was essentially download the Tinder app on Daniel Jones. And they did more than download. They actually were swiping. So meeting with Russell Wilson, to me, is the death knell to Daniel Jones.
It's swipe right, but it may be worse than Tinder. It's more like downloading like J-Date or Christian Mingle. They're looking for a new partner, not just a one-night stand.
Yeah, oh, is, beautifully said. I knew you'd clean that up.
Point God, perhaps?
For comedy purposes, the only place to go would be Farmers Only.
So, I mean, is that a three-way point guard? So we're tied for the week?
Oh, yeah. I guess everybody wins.
I love what he did.
Wow.
Look at that.
You know what? I love that my guys can be champions with me. Time now for the tournament update brought to you by Bet365. Taking a look at the Big East, UConn has a four-game lead on Creighton and Marquette. Seton Hall sits in fourth at 12-7, with St. John's, Villanova, and Providence all at 10-9. That was the tournament update brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. We're doing a show across the street on 33rd Street and 8th from the Garden on next Friday for the Big East tournament. So drop by and say hello. Looking forward to that, right?
It's called the Rutherford, by the way.
The Rutherford. I love it. Let's go to Joe in Hamilton. Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Yeah, good.
All right.
Good talk, man.
All right, that was fun.
Wow. Don, let's see how cool you are. Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Reynolds.
What song?
Yeah.
I'll know the song.
Of course you will. You want me to tell you?
Yes, please.
Don't pull your love out on me, baby. If you do, then I think that maybe I'll just lay me down. About 400 years.
Oh, that's a good one.
What was that, Anthony?
You can't sing for too long.
All right, we had to cut that off.
Can we get what's the exact time?
I think that was it.
15 seconds, I believe.
Oh, come on. 15 seconds is an eternity. We got to give it another verse.
We could have done a whole chorus. Let's go to Dennis in Huntington. Dennis.
All right. You guys are seeming a little freaky, so I have a widget Friday for you.
All right.
Okay. So it's for all of you. Say it's like Christmas Eve, but none of the kids are there. You guys are having a party with all your friends and family.
Okay.
And a DVD comes in the mail. All right. And you're like, all right, let's pop it in. Let's see it in front of the whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, A, rather it be you making out with three of your wife's best friends or your wife making out with three of your best friends? And whether it's before marriage or after marriage, it's up to you.
Well, I mean, either way, it's going to be a lousy Christmas.
That's a bad Christmas.
Well, I think that I would take me making out with my wife's friends. This way, we've completely pruned the tree. We don't have to deal with them anymore. And I'll just try to salvage the marriage.
Peter, we always kind of are in lockstep with this, that we would rather not feel the guilt
right
of wronging our significant other. So I would go with... Nancy and the three yo-yos.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
If I did that, right, you know how I feel, the locks would be changed. So the only way that we have a chance of salvaging anything is if Jody is more forgiving than me, which she's not, but that would be the only chance. By the way, a lot of people are waiting on this. Jalen Brunson plans to play tonight.
Okay.
If all goes well in pregame, according to Tibbs. Tibbs doesn't tell you anything.
He told you that.
Well, if all goes well, I mean, what could go wrong?
But he's not out.
He's not out.
Well, and
it's a big game.
If he's
big
being game. Honest, it's up in the air. He wants to know how it feels. So I guess he's not 100%. Otherwise, he'd be in.
I think he is 100%. What's going on?
Bear just turned up. Get out of here, Bear.
Wow.
In hockey, when I'm doing a game, if somebody's a game time decision,
right,
then they see how it is in warm-ups. 99% of the time, if they're out there for warm-ups, they play. They're not going to go through the process of getting dressed and everything. And if to that point where they've got to test skating around whether they can play a game, then they wouldn't even bother. So I think definitely Brunson's playing.
Good news then. Richard in Manhattan. Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, sir. Michael, hi.
Richard. Yeah.
Richard. I'm here. Michael, you know, if you went to Columbia, you would have been classmates with Barack Obama.
I would have been classmates with Gary Cohen, I think.
And Gary Cohen also. I was going to say, you're the voice of the Mets, voice of the... Peter, this is for you. Columbia, at that time, after the 1968 riots, the students shut the school down right during final exams. Columbia was not in a good way from 69 till probably around Michael's application time in 79.
Oh, that Columbia, makes sense then.
They were not that good. I got in 73.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I had SATs lower than Michael's.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
That's right. Now, as far as Barkley, Don, this is for your father. Your father would love this. We had a player just like Saquon Barkley. His name was Tucker Fredrickson.
Sure.
He was drafted in 65 out of Auburn, same year as Joe Namath from Alabama. Good-looking guy. He went out with Phyllis George. Wellington Mara loved him. He had a great rookie year. Always got hurt. But Mara wanted him on the Giants. Afterwards, he set him, I heard from older Giant fans, older than me, much older, and they told me he set him up at Wall Street. Tucker Fredrickson worked at Wall Street, then opened the bar part ownership under the 59th Street Bridge. T.J. Tucker's where I used to see a lot of the Giants, Frank Gifford.
That was a great place.
Great place. And that's what happened with Fredrickson. Always hurt, same type of player. A guy wrote a book about the Giants, a tell-all book, like a Jim Bouton book. His name was Jerry Wright. I'd rather be right. He was a lineman, and he talked about Fredrickson. He said that he never saw what this guy can do, never, because he was always hurt, yet he was revered by the Giants in their hierarchy.
What I remember about Tucker Fredrickson being younger than you guys is that he always did the preseason games on TV.
And he was a really good-looking guy.
Yeah.
I could see him dating Phyllis George.
But I think from what I remember from my dad and the history, I think Richard nailed that one. It's kind of a similar situation. And it just shows you the Maras, like John and Wellington, you could tell the family. They fall in love with guys, and it's difficult to let them go. I mean, I think that's something that should be revered, but in the day and age of the salary cap and just having to make good business decisions, it's probably not the best thing.
Tucker's still with us. He's 81.
By the way, Don, Ballard coming through with a potential point guard, an early point guard for next week.
Okay.
On Twitter. I love Ireland and the Irish, but St. Patrick's Day in NYC is just SantaCon in March. I give him point guard right now.
Oh, I like that.
He nailed it.
Just alienated an entire sub.
What, you mean the big St. Patrick's Day New York City celebrators?
No, Irish people. What are you
Irish
doing?
I bet you if we did a thing, we could fill a show for 3.5 hours of Irish people complaining about how St. Patrick's Day is yo-yo in New York City.
Interesting.
It's a mess.
Ballard could be Irish, right? No?
Yeah, he certainly could be.
No,
he,
although, there's no group that claims Ballard. No religion, no nationality.
You
nobody wants
that.
To say Ballard. I'm telling. Nobody wants to say Ballard
what
is
about,
ours.
What about his hometown of Rochester?
No, I think they've disowned him.
Don, have you ever eaten a garbage plate?
Ballard.
No.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.